This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Conscious Living podcast series. Today I'm here hanging out with my amazing podcast producer, Danielle, Vegan Danielle. And I'm here and I'm going to give an Ashley Lee healing adventure for everyone today. And this adventure is called Conscious Relating. I know that's a mouthful, isn't it? So we're going to talk about, right, we're here the day after Valentine's Day in 2018. And we spent all, 24 hours yesterday and maybe a few days before it leading up to the idea of, you know, becoming conscious with our ability to relate, right? Relate to our intimate partners, our kids, our classmates, our colleagues. How do we relate to them, and what do we do in that side of that, inside of that relating? So I wanted to talk about it really in a, it's such a huge topic that I wanted to talk about it in a way of how do we as parents relate to our kids? And now for the rest of you that are listening that may not have kids, think of it in another way of like, how do I relate to my colleagues? How do I relate to my partners? Partners in intimacy, partners in care, partners in any family members, anyone. But I'm going to give specific examples for parents to notice how they can relate to their kids in this conscious platform or format or perspective. Okay, so when we relate to each other, I don't know if we talk about it, maybe sometimes in psychology class or an emotional wisdom book or different areas, we might talk about how we relate. But I wanted to bring consciousness to this topic. So the idea of the consciousness is your awareness in our everyday experience, because I think when we relate in the world, sometimes we go unconscious, right? We don't think about it. We just react or interact, and we don't know why we're doing it or what's happening. We just kind of go through the motions of the day. And I wanted to take it to that next level. What if we can relate in such ways of learning how in our own selves, like not learning from me or learning from a book or learning from a program, but what about learning from yourself and how that you relate to yourself? And I mean all levels of yourself, like physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, every kind of way. And then how do you relate to others? And in this specific podcast, it'd be about kids, right? How do we relate to our kids? And they can even be grown up too. They don't have to just be little. And then how do we relate to our life circumstances? And I think this is a unique situation when you're looking at caring for kids, because a lot of times we tend to look at the kid, right? How is the kid relating? How is the kid interacting? And how is the kid doing or not doing? Are they doing good? Are they doing bad? Are we happy? Are they happy? All of those sort of things. But what I want us to take a look at is how are you relating as a parent or an adult towards the kids? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about others? And how do you feel about your life circumstances? Because that can directly impact how you relate to the kids and how the kids relate to you. So I wanted to bring this out and go a little bit deeper with that. So how do we relate to ourselves? Well, a lot of times we relate to ourselves like we recognize self-nurturing is a good thing, right? That gives us more energy, more resources, more support to give to our kids. But a lot of times we look at it from a physical aspect. How do we nurture ourselves? Okay, we go to the spa, right? I love to go to the spa, right? Get a massage, those sort of things. Do body work, right? But also, maybe get our nails done and different things. And we call that self-care. And it is. It's physical self-care. But when we relate, where do we mostly relate from? Right? Our mental mind, right? So mentally, mindfully, we relate because we use languaging to speak and talk to each other. The other way that we relate is nonverbal, right? Or in the world of sensitivities, empathically or kinesthetically, sensory-wise, we relate from our heart. And so many times I talk about it, it's simply said, is we can relate mentally and emotionally or cognitively and emotionally. Sometimes we even relate spiritually, but we don't really kind of talk about those topics either too much. Sometimes we do in different areas when we do different practices that bring up that spiritual awareness. But for the most part, on an everyday basis, we relate to each other. We kind of touch each other. When we're little kids, we hug and we touch a lot more. But when we grow older, as a social norm, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but we end up touching each other a lot less. And so really the ways that we relate to each other is through our thoughts and through our emotions. And so I wanted to help us get more aware of that. So think about it. Take just a moment to think about, how do you relate mentally with yourself? Right? We call that our self-talk, right? Our mental chatter, things we, right, remind ourselves of. But what about the unconscious thoughts? Do you access those? Do you take a moment in meditation when waking up or right before going to sleep? Do you take a, right, we call them mindful moments, maybe. I like to bring in all aspects of me when I take in those mindful moments, how I feel physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I bring in a whole body experience. Sometimes I get a little confused and pay less attention to my physical body, so I'm working on that right now. But in different areas, different people will focus in different aspects. But when you take a moment to notice how you're thinking, notice what you're saying to yourself, and how you're relating to yourself helps us a lot. Many of us might have some bad self-talk, right, towards ourselves. I'm not good enough. I can't say it good enough. Whatever I say, they're going to judge me. When I say something or relate to someone, they're going to negate me or criticize me. Now, maybe we won't always think that, but what if many times we disengage from relating to people because of these kinds of fears, right? So I want everybody to take a notice of what that might mean for you individually. And then take a notice of how you feel emotionally. How do I relate to people? Am I kind of, like, I'll admit, I live 30 years in intensive care. I kind of relate to people very clinically. And I'll laugh at that. I think it's kind of funny. But I'm learning to relate even in areas that are more emotionally based, that are more heartfelt and loving and supportive. And when we work with kids and we relate to kids, they like to relate into the emotional realm. But they're not sure how to navigate all that either. So take a look at how you relate to yourself. And what does that mean? And what kind of self-talk or self-emotions do you have? Do you feel sad most of the day? Do you feel upset or overwhelmed or concerned or in fear? If you have those feelings running through your whole day, that will impact not only how you relate to yourself, but it impacts how you relate to others, mainly like your kids. Or also how you relate to your own life circumstances. It's kind of like the lens, right? Or I take the glasses, right? How we look through that lens of how we feel and think about ourselves impacts our, what I call, manifested reality, our created reality. Okay? So when we take a look at those areas for ourselves and we get a little bit more centered and know how to work with those uncomfortable feelings or uncomfortable thoughts about ourselves and reframe them, we then come from a more, we keep calling this concept being our true nature, our true selves. But sometimes our true nature and our true selves can be sad. So we look at the beliefs that are creating what that sadness might be or that uncomfortable feeling might be, and we can help reframe them. So I just wanted to point that out, that when we look and reframe how we feel before we start to relate with others, it dramatically changes the way in which we relate with others. It also puts us in a more centered, we talk about, or grounded state of awareness, where I'm now open to understanding how I'm feeling about relating, that I'm relating to myself, and now I'm more open to relating with others. So now let's move into this idea of relating to our kids. And I wanted to bring up a couple of subjects that I feel are pretty important to notice. When you have moved yourself into a centered or more grounded state of awareness about how you feel, and you're able to then move into their perceptual awarenesses, it's much easier to move into their perceptual, the kids' perceptual awareness. That means, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? What are they projecting out into the world? Why? What creates that? Okay? When we look at what's creating their reality, we're more able to be right there in that moment to resource them, support them, care for them, and guide them. When we're more connected to what's driving their experience, good, bad, or otherwise, they trust us more. They know and feel heard and understood. And when they feel heard and understood, they're going to let you know, good, bad, or otherwise, how they truly feel. They're going to use less coping mechanisms to hide or to not say the truth or do lots of different activities to please you or placate you or help you feel better, okay? So we don't want them to do that because they're not really then being authentic or truthful to themselves or you about how to help them with their needs. Because most often when kids act out or what we might perceive as manipulate, when the kids do this, a lot of times it really does fundamentally come down to they believe they're not getting their need met. Whether that need being met is they want to watch TV endlessly, they don't want to do their homework, or they need to eat, whatever it is, or never go to sleep, whatever it is, that they feel then they're not going to get their need met. And what we have to do as parents and adults that guide the children is to really understand where that need is. And it's not about necessarily reframing it in the same way that we would as adults. Like, okay, so your need is you want to stay awake all night long. Yes, that's my need. And say, we would say, right, well, we want to reframe that because you'll be tired in the morning if you stay awake all night. But see, they don't see it that way. So we have to go into, why are they thinking that they want to stay awake all night? Maybe because you're such an amazing parent that you made their world so amazing that they can't go to sleep because they're too excited. I have a family member that was three once upon a time, and she said to her mom, she said, "Mom, I can't go to sleep because there's way too much to learn." And then that was my sister. She turned around and she said to me, "This is your kid, not mine." We all laughed. But the situation is we have to find out what it is. So what we got to do is share with my niece that there's plenty of time to learn and that we actually might learn better when our brain gets some rest and our body gets some rest. And so then when we met her need, she agreed and said, "Okay, I'll do that too." So it's those kinds of ideas where we can help reframe them. Whereas when the children are stuck and they're like, "I can't get my needs met. It's not going to work. I'm going to keep doing everything in my power to get my need met." Then they start moving into elaborate coping mechanisms and elaborate levels of trying to get you to get them to get their need met. Even if it's silly, it doesn't work, or it's not the best thing for them. Okay? So when we move into that state of recognizing it, they end up responding, trusting us, and turning it around more easily. So I know I talked about a lot of subjects right there, but I really want to focus in on our idea of what we feel or what we've said over eons. I'm going to call it back to the caveman days. But we have a belief in society that when children act out, they're being manipulative. I want to ask every parent, every guide of every teacher of children, that whenever a child looks like they're trying to manipulate, take a moment, take a deep breath, let go of your judgments about people who manipulate. I want you to look at them in their true nature and their true understanding and say, this child is manipulating clearly, and lots of kids do it. But instead of admitting that they're doing it, why don't we move into the idea of they're manipulating. Something's wrong. That's not who they really want to be. Nobody wakes up in the morning saying, I think I'm going to manipulate my world today, right? We don't want to. It doesn't feel good. It feels fake. It feels dishonest. It's lying. It's not telling the truth. It doesn't feel good to be in that state. So nobody really wants to manipulate. So instead, say to yourself, they're manipulating. So they went to a level of believing that they're not going to get their needs met. So stop in that moment. Take a deep breath. Clear your energy and your beliefs about manipulation. And then go into them and say, hi, I'm getting the feeling that you have a need you want met, and you may believe, maybe, that you're not going to get it. Is that true? And then the kid might jump up and down and start crying and say, yes, I want my cookie. Okay. And then you can say, I see you're doing everything in your power to get that cookie. Say, okay, but is your need that you're really hungry, right? And then they go, no, I just want a cookie, right? Depending on their age. So instead of focusing on the cookie, right, focusing on what really is happening, they're hungry. Maybe they want, maybe cookie and a chocolate or something helps them feel good. So they're not feeling good. Their emotions are off balance. Are they eating for emotional support? Are they eating because they're physically hungry? Are they eating because they get denied food, or food is a funny thing in their lives for whatever reason, right? So look at the deeper meaning of what's happening and what's driving their experience to manipulate their world. When we do that, we help them de-escalate their own feelings about that they're not going to get their need met. And they'll turn that around and go, oh, yeah, look at that. I am hungry. So when they admit it and they say, yeah, I want the cookie because I'm hungry, then you could say, well, it's before dinner time and our tummies get hungry a lot of times then. So what would you like? Like us grownups, we a lot of times 4 o'clock in the afternoon in a very busy, stressful lifestyle, we get a slump, right? So what do we look for? Coffee, chocolate? What are the kids doing? They're doing the same thing. Okay, so do they need rest? Do they need a mindful moment? Do they need a chance to disengage from sensory overwhelm? Do they need food? Are they actually really hungry? Do they need an apple or a carrot or something, right? Something that maybe is a healthier choice, right? To placate them or to help them through to dinner time, right? So we can do those different activities to support them coming out of manipulation. That's one form of coping. There are other forms of coping, and I want to say something about some of the highly sensitive children, the kids that I work with. And I think in many ways, many children are highly sensitive. And there's another coping mechanism that I really wanted to bring up today, was to talk up a little bit about disassociation. And how we label that as like a bad thing. I want to tell you, it's a supreme and amazing tool for coping. We disassociate all the time. We just don't recognize it. We do it on different levels. We call it tuning out, right? Or going somewhere else. Or getting tired and saying, I got to go rest, right? Or doing, we do lots of different things. So we help the kids notice when they're disassociating, when they're not concentrating or supporting. Maybe they need a sensory break, right? Many different things. But instead of labeling that coping mechanism as bad, They're doing it so that they can survive the moment, right? Whether it's overwhelming, whether it's too much, their fuse hit a switch, whatever it is. Recognize that that's just a coping mechanism. It's okay. It's not a bad thing. And you, as they get older, you can start to let them know what that really means and what that's about. But as when they're younger, you can say, I can see you look done with this situation. So is it good if we should leave? We should change the scenery. They can change it if it's in the household. Lots of different things. Or it's an uncomfortable subject. They don't want to talk about it. Sometimes that's really challenging for parents. When we talk to our children about an uncomfortable subject, like doing something they don't want to do, but they have to do it for one reason or another, like take a bath or brush their teeth or make their bed or do different things that we just do in our daily lives. How do we handle that? Well, I'll tell you, I think it's challenging for all of us. I don't think I'm going to date myself here about a Dr. Spock book, but I think a book on parenting nowadays and teaching people and teaching children to remain unsuppressed and be their authentic self, but learn how to speak in a kind and compassionate way is very challenging right now, because as a society, we're not used to speaking in these ways. We're not used to sharing in these ways. We're not used to saying, what is your mental belief about that? We're not used to talking to each other that way. But I think somehow it's time that we start to have these kinds of conversations softly, gently, even with those who aren't open to it. But what if we can start to change our languaging about how we talk to each other and really express and go for those deeper meanings that impact our behaviors? I know it was a lot of deep subjects today, but I wanted to share with you how exciting it is, because when the kids connect to you as a guide in their life and they trust it and they know that you know what they're thinking and feeling, then they feel more open, right? More open to share authentically how they feel, even if it doesn't feel good, that the both of you can work through that. So that they can learn to relate better to themselves, their physical body, mental, emotional, and spiritual, but that they can learn then to relate with languaging and talking about it. It's okay to talk about it to other kids, other family members, right? And then from that way of relating, their life circumstances, how they experience their lives, completely start to adjust and change and become much more open. They feel more competent, and able to engage in much deeper ways. So I wanted to thank you all for joining me today in really expressing some of those ideas about how we relate to ourselves, others, and life circumstances in the way that it deepens our relationships with our children so that their relationships with their peers and others deepen as well. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll see you in just a little bit with another podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. We are so grateful for you tuning in and experiencing the innovations and opportunities we all can incorporate into our daily lives. Connect with us at centerforconsciouskids.com to sign up for the latest news that showcases these revolutionary services and products. Our global website provides families with an online conduit for enrichment and transformation in all our lives. Please share with other kids and families who would enjoy these advancements in living consciously. I'm Ashley Lee, and I thank you so much for joining us.
The Specialty Produce app is the world's number one handheld resource on produce. The app features photographs, recipes, geography and history, taste and culinary applications on over 1,900 produce items. From apples to zapote, we've got your produce questions answered. Our app is available for both iPhone and Android. Download our app for free today.